It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. In a year where we've meandered basically to nowhere, we've had two 10% corrections in 2018, and it's opened up investors' eyes to say, wait a minute, this is just a market that we can go through an entire year where we think we're making progress, and then all of a sudden it goes away so quickly. Remember the week, the shortened trading Thanksgiving week when the market fell for almost 5% in 1 week? Well, we've had some weeks where we've gained 4 to 5% in 1 week, but we've had months where we've lost almost a full 10% in just a month. This year has been littered with corrections. And the nerves that are coming from this potential global, it's not even potential, it's a global trade war that we've been in, that I've talked you through, that we've solved some of those problems, but not everything. We're worried that the Fed chokes off this economy as they continue to raise interest rates. We're worried that earnings are so good in 2018 that they can't be any better in 2019. That's not good for markets. So we have this digestive issue where indigestion that just hasn't gone away, effectively making markets go virtually nowhere for an entire year. Today, on Money Matters, in order to have just a fighting chance at investing, you and I have to understand that volatility. We've got to understand stock market corrections. Very simply, we have to understand how often, how frequent, how long, how deep, how long does it take to recover when markets sell off? Because that's the tough part of investing. So that's the pain. That is the pain that makes it so difficult. And it's because it's emotional. It's the emotion of loss. There's no better way to do that than understanding the history of what happens during these market sell-offs. So today on Money Matters, good morning, welcome here on a Sunday morning. I am your host, Wes Moss. If you're new to Money Matters, welcome. We've been on the air here with WSB Radio for about 10 years and even longer than that before WSB, helping you get through the most difficult parts of investing. And today, the topic, arguably the most difficult part of investing, and that is the history of and the ongoing persistence of stock market corrections. I want to understand or help you understand the frequency of them. How often do they happen? How often do we see 10% corrections? How often do we see 20% bear markets or more? How long do they last? What's the time to recover? How bad do they get? So good morning and welcome. Finding me and the Money Matters team, that's easy to do. You can go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, or yourwealth.com. And of course, find us via podcast as well, Wes Moss Money Matters, if you miss any of today. We're talking about arguably the most difficult thing about investing. And that, I would say, it's pretty simple. If you had to look at one area that's difficult, that is the word loss. Loss of your money. We all know that the emotion of loss is three times more visceral than the feeling of gain or winning or making money. There's a ton of scientific research on this, by the way. There's an Israeli-American psychologist named Daniel Kahneman. He won a Nobel Prize about this in economic sciences for working on this behavioral issue or this emotion of economic loss. The Nobel Prize for his work on judgment and decision making, because that's what happens when we're faced with a monetary loss. We make emotional decisions about it. So Kahneman is he's a leader in the field of behavioral economics, and he's documented the powerful science of, here it is, loss aversion. So losing $100 creates more negative emotion than winning $100 creates positive emotion. So when it comes to money, the thrill of victory, think of it this way, the thrill of victory is far outweighed by the agony of defeat. And if you read about why this might be the case, it kind of makes sense. I want to kind of talk about why this might be the case for a second. It could be caused by something scientists call the endowment effect. So think about, as we're evolving over millions of years, think about the evolutionary process of, and survival. And I think of a wolf. I think of a wolf in the Arctic. And think of the wolf is on the brink of survival. The wolf is hungry. So one more day of no food, let's say, or no water. One more day, and that wolf is living on the edge. One more day of no food, one more day of no water, and that might be the last day. The wolf may die. And that's the downside of not, let's say, finding something or gaining food that day, right? That's the downside's pretty big, death. So having that last meal disappear, let's say the wolf finds a rabbit and all of a sudden the rabbit is gone and it missed the rabbit. That's the loss of what just happened that day. Imagine, it's devastating. Could literally mean that's it, game over, death. But if, let's say, the wolf has food or has a rabbit to eat in a given day, and then it finds another rabbit in that same day, sure, that's great, but the extra food doesn't create an extra day of life, right? Unless the wolf had a meat freezer from Costco, which I doubt had growing up. That's why we have to understand stock market corrections, the history of what happens during these market sell-offs, the frequency, the length, the depth, the time to recover, because loss evolutionarily does something to our brain that is much more significant than winning extra or extra gain. So we're going to talk through this and understand the history of how this has happened and unfold. We've seen this unfold ever since the 1920s. So we're going to go back to the 1920s. We did our own research over the last couple of weeks looking into this to try to really understand the numbers and the activity, how the market behaves, and we can understand it. So both winning or gaining money versus losing money has this impact on us. It in our brain puts added emphasis on loss. The emotional factor is at the very crux of this. So it's that emotion of losing money that is the crux of investing. And when it makes investing so difficult, that's when people mess everything up. And that's when you end up not being able to participate. That's when you have returns that end up over time no good. And that's when you just throw your hands in the air and you put everything in CDs or treasuries and you give up. And that's exactly what I do not want you to do. So if you're a normal human and you haven't trained your brain with the fact or these facts, let's say, about market history, it's even easier for that loss aversion or those loss aversion receptors in your brain to go into overdrive. And I think today's history lesson is going to help with that. That's why we're doing what we're doing today. I always find it really helpful to get an idea of just how bad markets can get or should get. And there's an operative word here on should, and I'm going to get to that in this history because we're going to talk about a couple of different, two really distinct kinds of corrections that we can try to identify. So how bad markets can get or should get in any given period of time. So today I want to help us get have a better understanding of market drops. All right, let's start with frequency. If you go back and you count the most, just the correction that we are still in, and here we are as we're in the last month of 2018, but there is a correction that began this fall of 2018. So we count that, there's been 53 pullbacks of 10% or more going back to 1928. So we begin in 1928, so we have 90 years of data, 53 corrections over 90 years. That's a 10% correction, 10% or more correction. So this includes the 15s and it includes the 25s and it includes the 40s, right? So anything that is carnage of 10%, a 10% drop or more has happened 53 times over the last 90 years. That, just do the math on that. It means on average, we've seen one of these about every year and a half, 1.7 years to be exact. So that's just on average. Yes, there's been multi-year stretches where there have been no 10% corrections. You go back and look at, man, the 90s were wonderful. Back from 1991 all the way to 1997, we didn't even have a 10% correction. 1991 all the way through 1997, you didn't even have to deal with this emotion of loss we're talking about here today. Imagine how easy, remember that? Remember how easy investing was back in the 90s? Nobody ever lost any real money. Just kept going up and up and up. Hey, this is easy. Then even in 2011 through 2015, we did not have a 10% correction. It's another multi-year stretch where you didn't even have to deal with this. Starts to seem kind of easy. Ooh, this is pretty easy. We just put money in, it goes up, has these little fluctuations, but mostly just goes up. Well, those days are, there's not that many periods of time. Well, we know that when we go through those periods of time, at some point that ends. And we've certainly seen that end here in 2018. So let's just say this to start framing up history. Let's just start to understand that this pain, this loss, this 10% plus of you losing money in the general stock market. And by the way, we're using the S&P 500. Happens every 1 to 2 years. That's very frequent, right? This is pretty much all the time we should be expecting in any given year. We should expect it. We should expect a 10% or more correction. And if it didn't happen last year, well, hey, aren't we overdue for this? And the answer is yes. Historically, we understand that this happens every 1.5 years. How about 20% corrections where things start to get even more dour? Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back from break. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. Stay tuned as we talk about even worse corrections in the 20% bear market range when money matters return. Stay tuned. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters and the history of corrections. Understanding how the stock market works. Understanding how the stock market falls. Stock market corrections, which lead to all this emotion and quite frankly, the emotion of loss or loss aversion, loss aversion makes investing kind of really hard. And the frequency of this happening, we just talked about. We know that we get a pretty big, significant correction every year or 2 years, year to two. Frequency. So let's go into this and talk about even bigger pullbacks. So if we count the most recent, we know that this happens every year and a half. What about the 20%ers? How about 20% or more? And these are not just corrections, but it's in the 20% loss territory. We call this a bear market. It's obviously a little more rare, but there have been 20 of these. Count them, 20% plus stock market falls. If you go back to 1928, mathematically, that means we've seen a bear market on average every 4.5 years. Still pretty frequent if you think about this over the course of your investing life. If you've invested for 20 years, that means that you should see about 4 of these. So it happens pretty often. Now, the market doesn't work on an average schedule. You and I, again, we both know that. It doesn't happen like clockwork or else it would make everything too easy. But it's important to understand the sheer frequency of the pullbacks themselves. So again, 10% drops every 1.5 years. That includes all of the 10 to 20% drops bundled together. The really big ones, the big bad ones, big bad, let's call them grizzly bears, 20% plus, that happens every 4.5 years. Now, when we get back, we're going to talk about the two very distinct versions of these corrections, two main kinds. And we're going to talk about corrections that happen with recessions and corrections that happen without recessions. We're going to explain all of that further because there's a huge difference between the two, and there's ways to really try to understand which one we're headed into or which one we're maybe avoiding. So all of that when Money Matters returns. Again, I'm your host, Wes Moss. Find me and the Money Matters team at Wes Moss, WESMOSS.com. We're in Atlanta. And welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Understanding stock market corrections, kind of just in the middle. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about we understand that the hardest thing about investing is losing money, loss aversion. It's been documented. The psychologist or economic behavioralist, won a Nobel Prize documenting the science behind loss aversion, the judgment decision making. And we understand that that's the hardest piece about investing. It creates this enormous emotion. It hurts three times as much to lose money than it does to win. So losing $100 creates far more negative emotion than winning $100 creates positive emotion. This is documented. And we just went through the fact that 10% corrections happen pretty much all the time, call it every a year and a half. 20%ers or 10% or more happens every year and a half on average. 20%ers happen every 4.5 years. So it happens very frequently. So that's a first step in understanding that it's not uncommon to go through a period of time where markets correct. Let's go beyond, though. There are two main kinds of corrections. There's two main kinds of corrections. And so we're going to go beyond just the frequency and now understand and categorize them a little bit. So two main kinds, corrections with recessions and then corrections without recessions. Remember, recessions, if we've talked about this on Money Matters before, that's the economic side of the equation. Remember, the stock market and the economy do not necessarily hold hands perfectly in unison over time. The stock market is not the economy. The economy is not the stock market. Yes, they move somewhat in tandem over time, but in any given day, week, month, or even year, they can certainly depart ways. There have been 11 recessions, by the way, since 1928. So one in the late 20s, one in the late 30s, one in the 40s. Again, recessions very frequently throughout history. Put another way, stock market pullbacks that coincide with strong economies, so we stay out of recession, and then stock markets that coincide with bad economies. Those are the two categories we're talking about here. So as you can probably imagine, the corrections that are associated with the big R, recessions, they're a lot worse. They're far worse than the ones that happen during decent or good economic times. And yes, the stock market can get bad even when the economy is really good. I think 2018 is a perfect example of that. We've had two ugly corrections, yet we've had one of the best economic years we've seen in a decade. Okay, perfect example that the stock market does not equal the economy or in any given time perfectly. Here's some of those numbers. Again, 90 years worth of stock market and economic data. If you look at all 23 corrections or downdrafts, the average pull down is 22.5%. That's for all the little ones and the big ones. They all average out to 22.5%. But this is a better way to really look at this. You got to look at it as corrections with recessions and corrections without recessions. The average correction with a recession, the average correction without a recession, let's call it in good economic times, is only about 17%. The average correction with a recession, when things are the underlying foundation is getting crumbly, 35%. So it gets really, really bad from a stock market perspective. That is why so frequently we're talking about the underlying state of the economy to try to judge, okay, this stock market correction is a little ugly, it's a little painful, but what's underneath, is the foundation okay? Is the economy okay? And if the answer is yes, it gives me a much different feeling than if I say, hey, the economy's getting bad too. Big difference between how stock markets react in those two very different environments. So the average of it all, the little corrections and the big correction, the 20% plus bears, that's 22.5%. But more important to understand the corrections with and without recessions. And so it gives me a much better understanding of, if you look at the economic piece of the equation, of the pullback, the stock market side of it, that cycle. Why? Because every single time there's even a 1% correction, 1% in a given day or even in a week, stock market pulls back. So 2000, if the market's, as an example here, let's say the Dow's at 25,000, which it's hovered at for above and below for a long time now. 1% is only 250 points. You know, you and I both know that can happen in like an afternoon. It can happen in an hour. But you know also that the minute that happens, your friendly, slightly concerned looking CNBC commentator will immediately say to their guest, Jim, is this the start of something bigger? That's exactly what happens every time you get a little downtick in markets. You get a commentator across the board saying, Jim, is this the start of something bigger? Is this the next big correction? And that scares everybody to death. Happens all the time. So my thought is that identifying the overarching or the big picture, the macro trends or the macro environment helps answer that question. So if the economic outlook is strong and getting stronger, then when we do go into a market correction, we do start to see a little bit of a pullback. We have a better understanding of the likely damage. Again, what's the likely damage if markets are off 8%, let's say, like we just saw this year a couple different times, and the world's getting scared, and you're confident the economy is going to stay out of recession? Well, what's that mean? We and by the way, recession's two negative quarters of GDP, economy, gross domestic product going negative, has to do it two quarters in a row. If you know that, or you have a good sense that it's that the economic backdrop is going to stay strong and we're not going into recession, then we know that if we're down 5% or 8% or 10%, then on average, those corrections stay at around 17. That's the category that correction would likely stay in. And that gives you some understanding and an idea of, okay, we're down 10%. Well, it means that this could get worse, but probably not a whole lot worse, as long as we're staying out of recession. And that's why I think it's so important to understand these two very distinct categories of recession. And to some extent, it's worked very well to look at it that way. 2015, we knew the economy was not going to recession. Yes, we had a pullback, but the maximum pullback was only about 12%. 2016, same thing. We had a pullback. We knew the economy was still pretty strong. The pullback stayed at the nadir was 13%. Early this year, corrections stayed in the 10% range. It's recessions that really wreak havoc on stocks. When is this is when, and this is again, now we're talking about recessions now, that's when a garden variety pullback in markets turn into grizzly bears. On average, negative 35% when associated with a recession. Now, okay, that's a lot of data we just went through. How long do these things last? Well, let's talk about the length of corrections and then the time to recover. How long does it take to kind of get back to where we were? How long do they last? And once they turn up, how long on average does it take to get back to the previous peak and then begin plowing new ground? First of all, we know on average, our data tells us that if you look back on the 53 downdrafts that we studied back to the 1920s, till today. If you isolate the 10 to 20 category, so the kind of the garden variety pullbacks, the corrections, but not bear markets, they took on average about a third, 112 days. Let's call it a third of a year to reach bottom. About 4 months where they continue to go down and down and down and down. The really bad ones, the 20 percenters, those took on average about a year to reach bottom. On average over time. But we don't want to just look at these 10 and 20% buckets or the 20% plus buckets. We again want to look at these in terms of recession corrections and non-recession corrections and how long it took the market to recover back to its previous peak. I think that's really the way we need to look at this. How long does it take to get back to where we were before the whole thing started? Essentially, how long does it take to cancel out the negative impact of the correction itself? This is another set of data with only 23 periods versus the initial 53. Because there's less data points here, the clock on a new period of time only resets once the market gets back to a previous high, and then it starts to plow new ground. The period of 53 corrections, the clock has to reset every time there was a 10% drop, regardless if we had ever gotten back to the peak. That's why we're talking about 23 periods of time versus 53. So let's look at time to recover is the next section here. Again, this is a lot of data and I get that. Really what we're trying to understand, if you're just tuning in, how long does it take to get back from a big correction on average if you're an investor? I want to know that to help me get through those really dark times when stocks are pulling back and pulling back and not looking good. I'm worried about my 401k and I'm worried about retirement. How long is this going to last? Well, we've got to look back at history and see, okay, when markets go down and things get ugly, how painful and how long do I have to endure that pain? That's what this data is. Now, if you missed some of this, of course, you can always go to the podcast, Wes Moss Money Matters, and listen through. Or I'm going to be publishing this under the money tab at wesmoss.com. It's under the money tab, and that'll be probably starting early December. Call it early December when that gets published. Time to recover. Recession corrections, by the way. These are in when the economy's terrible and we go into correction. It takes a long time. It takes about 6 years to recover. If you wipe out the data from the Great Depression, that was a 25-year calamity, it takes about 4 years to get back to the peak to recover all the damage of a bear market that's in a recession. About 4 years. How about a non-recession correction? The garden variety recessions that we've seen this year, as an example, in 2018, pull back 10% on average over time. It takes about 10 months to make back all the ground lost and then get back into making new money, plowing new ground. Put this all together. Think of it very simply. If I had to maybe put it into one or two sentences, non-recession corrections. So corrections are in good economies. Take about 17% off the table, 17% declines. And they take on average less than a year to fully recover. All right. Recession corrections, when market goes down and the economy is bad, those average negative 35% and can on average take 4 to 6 years to fully recover. Those are the two that we always have to, as markets go down and you're nervous about your 401k, we've got to try to understand the underlying what's causing it. Is the economy about to roll over or not? And if it's not, we can have somewhat of a sigh of relief saying we need to continue to stay the course and get through this because it's too shallow. It's not a big enough move to really hop in, hop out, hop in, hop out, and still make money. If things are looking like they're going to get really ugly, like 2007 and 8 or 2000 and 2001, where we saw 50% plus corrections and you're headed into retirement, that's when you've got to be really careful about how you're invested and be careful about getting too aggressive or too exposed to stocks. We'll talk about that when Money Matters returns. Good morning. We're talking about corrections, the emotion of loss, understanding how wild these markets can get. If you understand them, they're a little easier to handle. You're listening to Money Matters. We're talking about the depth and the worst case scenario in some of these corrections or bear markets. When we return, stay tuned. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
24-hour news center delivers updates 4 times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
As we wrap up what is arguably the most important understanding corrections, probably better put, understanding the resiliency of the stock market. We're going to finish that up in a second. Ryan Ely, price pack, my friend.
The WSB Weekend Price Pack is a pair of tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra's The Ghosts of Christmas Eve, The Best of TSO, and more, coming to Infinite Energy Arena for 2 shows on Saturday, December 8th at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at axs.com. A portion of the proceeds will benefit local charities. Caller number 6, the prize pack is yours.
So the depth of the worst depressions we know, down 54% in the 1930s, down 48% in the 70s, down 50% in 2002, down 56% in the most recent Great Recession. Remember, all these really bad stock markets were associated with awful economies, recessions, and arguably more than just recessions. One was a full depression. One was a near depression. Both the result of massive imbalances. And it's worth noting that once we went through the depression and the last shoe to drop for markets in 1937, we didn't have another 50% drawdown for over 60 years. So I know we've all been burned by these 50%, two 50% hits in the last 20 years, 2000 and 2007. It feels like there's always a calamity around the corner, but I think the next massive bear market, barring a huge mistake, let's say by the Fed, is a very long way off. 10 to 20% corrections, sure, happens all the time. But remember, that again, that's one every year or two. It's not until a correction with a recession or a bad economy rears its ugly head that we need to prepare for winter. Even then, if the average correction with the recession gets back to its peak in 4 years, on average, at that point, during that period of time, we should use that period of time to accumulate. Or if your investment plan doesn't bake in a pullback correction or a pullback protection plan, which to me is a balanced income portfolio, then the only way to live through the emotion of loss or loss aversion is to make sure you have something in place that gets you through these difficult times. I think that understanding these corrections, or better put, understanding the resiliency of the stock market through the darkest of times, it gives us the tools to make it through these periods of time when your emotions are tested. And that is one of the few things that we know for sure will happen as an investor. Thanks for tuning in here. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Have a wonderful rest of and profitable week.